Welcome to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show and would like to hear more from us, give us a follow on your favourite streaming platform. Welcome to the show, guys. Today we're joined by Laquan Smith, who is Diversity, Equity and Inclusion Manager at Just Works. Thanks for joining us today, Laquan. It's great to have you join us.
Hi, Ben. Yeah, thank you for having me and Happy New Year.
Yep, excellent. Happy New Year to you as well, I should have said. So I think just to get us into the conversation, I'm interested in what Just Works is and what the mission is there.
Yeah, so Just Works is a PEO, which stands for Professional Employer Organization. Our mission is to help entrepreneurs and businesses grow with confidence. We do all the things such as payroll, benefits, and we have other HR tools to help our customers, you know, get their business off the ground.
So what's your role at Just Works? What does that look like?
Yeah, so my role at Just Works is a diversity, equity, and inclusion program manager. And my day-to-day consists of supporting the ERGs, which stand for Employee Resource Group, designing programs to help those ERG leads become leaders of the organization, meet with new hires to let them know about all of the DEI efforts that Just Works is doing, and overseeing all of the heritage months. We are approaching February and, you know, Black History Month is coming. And so I'm overseeing that, helping with funding and just like providing guidance where I'm needed.
What's your story into DEI? I mean, what was the motivation to get into this area?
Well, as a person of color, diversity and equity, like diversity and inclusion is like super important. Just trying to navigate a corporate space. I would say that my true motivation was when I started to apply to jobs out of college, I understood the discrimination that existed, and I tried to circumvent any of that. I just wanted a fair shot. And so instead of using my first name, Laquan, I actually applied to jobs using Terry, because when I did use Laquan, I never got any hitbacks. And so I tested out this theory that I had, which is like, okay, maybe people don't know how to say my name, so they don't want to take a chance on interviewing me, or it just seems too ethnic. So I applied to the same job twice, one with the resume Laquan and one with the resume Terry. It was the same exact resume. And then a couple weeks later, I got an email. One said that, Laquan, you aren't qualified for the role. You know, good luck on your search. And the other said, Terry, we love your experience. What is your availability like for next week? So that right there told me about the discrimination that I would potentially face in the corporate environment. And I was just determined to make a change, determined to change the outcome of that, because I just felt people weren't getting a fair shot. And I know like that's just with my name, but there are also women that apply to roles that have to change their name to sound more neutral because they may not get it. And so I was like, what is the role that I can have the most impact and I can make a difference? And diversity, equity, and inclusion was that role.
I can't believe that, you know, this is still an issue in this day and age, 2021. I mean, that's a shocking firsthand kind of story that you've just told us there. And I can't believe that that's the way it still goes.
Well, it's definitely a hard pill to swallow. Yeah. But I will say that things are getting better. Just Works is actually the first organization that I applied with my first name and felt like I was treated with respect. My resume, you know, read all the way through, you know, my time was valued, and it was just very welcoming. And so that's also how I knew that Just Works is the right place for me. And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully there are a bunch of like D&I managers fighting for the same thing. And, yeah, you know, we do have a long journey to go, but I'm really happy that I have seen some changes over the years.
Is there any kind of industry actually that you think it, I don't know, I don't want to put words in your mouth here or land you in any hot water, but is there any industries that stick out to you as being behind the curve with this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think there, I won't, you know, drop any names, but I do think that there are some industries that have gotten the memo and know that this is the right thing to do and are doing it for the right reasons. And then there are some industries that are a little bit traditional in the way that they think, may feel that, you know, only the top talent come from Ivy League universities or, you know, Stanford's and NYU's. And they don't really give other people coming from, you know, non-Ivy League institutions a chance. Mm-hmm. I would say that if we're going to make a difference, we just have to kind of change our mindset. We have to unlearn what we have learned and stop thinking that only the best come from these institutions.
Yeah.
Because people decide to go where they want to go for a lot of different reasons. Some to be close to their family, some because they were given a scholarship, some because they want to, you know, move away from family or just want to take a risk. And so where a person goes to college, I don't think is a really good measure of how successful they will be in a role. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, that's just my two cents. But I think that the tech industry is leading the way of really giving people a chance and thinking outside of the box about, you know, who might be qualified, what type of background they need to have, or what type of background they don't need to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen a lot of organizations start to recruit people from, you know, the Flatiron School, or, you know, don't have a computer science background from a four-year institution. Mm-hmm. They have the skill set. And so they've been working out very well. And I think that that's great because it's opening up people's eyes as to what is really needed to do really well in this role.
Yeah. And there's a really interesting point there with, you know, technology. And I've spoken to a lot of people on this podcast who are managers and leaders in technology. And one of the questions that I've often asked is, what do you look for on a CV? I mean, do you look for like qualifications or what kind of thing sticks out to you? And not one of them, I mean, maybe like one or two, but only a handful of people said they look at qualifications.
Well, so I don't...
Traditional formal qualifications, that is.
Right. I am not a recruiter, so I don't spend most of my days looking at resumes. I am a part of the recruiting process, so I will interview someone, but that's already after they've already been kind of selected as a candidate for this role. So, you know, I don't really know what the recruiters are looking for, but I've always challenged the recruiters to look at their last five hires and see if there's any commonalities between them, right? Like, do they all follow like Harvard Business Review? Did they all go to a, you know, a top 100 university, or are they following, you know, Microsoft and Bill Gates? You know, do they have over 500, you know, connections? And then I would challenge them to find a candidate that doesn't have those things.
Yeah.
And I think by doing that, you maybe start to see, you know, what your trends are and maybe change that up just to make sure that like you're not like having any blind spots, essentially.
Yeah, that's a really interesting, like real life way to address some issues that companies might be having. You know, if they are repeatedly hiring the same kinds of people, it is important to actually actively look at those last people and actively try and change that rather than just skirting over it and just rehiring the same people. I think that's really important. That's a really interesting point.
So Ben, let me ask you, you know, what do you think the benefit of diversity and inclusion at an organization is?
Well, firstly, it's interesting that you've asked me, because a lot of people in these podcasts, no one ever turns around the question onto me. So thank you for doing that. It's really, for me, the biggest benefit I would say would be, amongst many benefits, would be having a diverse company, having a diverse culture enables a business not to stagnate. Because if you have a table full of, you know, in a meeting room, you're brainstorming an idea or a product, if you have a table of 10 people, all with, you know, the same background, the same culture, the same upbringing, you're going to get a very, very, what would be the word now? What would be the word? Come on, Laquan, help me out here.
probably get a very,
you know what I mean,
tailored product for us demographic, and you kind of limit the customers that you would reach with that type of brainstorming or that type of, like that type of setup. You know, a lot of organizations are now saying, you know, we want more diversity in the room. We don't want to have a conversation with everyone who has the same background, who thinks the same way, because we'll never make a product that's going to change the world doing that.
Yeah, it's massively beneficial. And I mean, what do you think companies can do to encourage that then? How do you change the mindsets of these places?
Well, it starts with leadership. The CEO and people that sit on a leadership team have to be members of this underrepresented community and also allies. You know, representation is super important. You know, you can hire anyone. You know, there's a lot of different reasons why people would apply to a job. They need money. They want to move to a certain city. You know, they just want to use it as a stepping stone. But I think the real true measure is retaining, right? The real true measure of inclusion is retaining those people, right? Like when they come there, do they feel supported? Do they see someone that looks like them at leadership? Do they feel like they have a chance to move up the ladder? These are some of the things that you can do. Also, just make sure that, you know, hiring managers and recruiters are, you know, having unconscious bias trainings regularly, having those, you know, hard conversations, even getting the ERGs involved. Something that we are thinking of doing at JustWorks is a source-a-thon, which is essentially, you know, a recruiter would come in to a meeting held by a particular ERG, say what role that we have available, maybe a couple, the qualifications that we're looking for. Let's say, you know, we want somebody with a marketing background from an ad tech company with at least 2 years experience, something like that. And then have the ERG leads and their members fill in like an Excel sheet with people from their network on LinkedIn and just, you know, fill up that Excel sheet with everyone who's a potential candidate. And we're bound to get some type of diversity from that. And then we can, you know, the recruiting team can then source that and see if they can pull 4 or 5, you know, qualified candidates from that list. And I think that's a way that ERGs can have an impact on the business and start to change the narrative of, you know, who's responsible for who comes in the door.
Definitely. That's great advice. Do you think that like a lot of companies or some companies kind of hiring diversely just to kind of tick boxes and make sure that they look like they're doing the right thing, but they've not actually got a really good structure in place?
Well, I'll say that I think the Black Lives Matter movement, you know, stemming from the death of George Floyd, really put some fire under a lot of companies to hire diversity and inclusion professional, whether that's a director or manager, or even just like start out with, you know, a coordinator. That is a good thing. But I think on the flip side of that, you just have to be careful and ask the right questions before you join an organization, because you want to make sure that you're set up for success. A lot of these organizations are just starting to think about D&I, and they may not know what the D&I professional might need in order to be successful. So they may not have, you know, a budget for them. They may not have support for them, and they may not have senior leaders advocating to change like the culture for the right reasons. And so I think those are all things that are needed to be successful. And I think there are some questions that you can ask when interviewing for, you know, this type of role. Just even in my interview process in the past, I would say that they're not going to give you all of the answers that you want. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? You might want to know what the representation looks like across the company, but that's their diversity data, demographic data. And organizations hold that very close to the chest, because it is pretty much dropping the towel, essentially. It's being transparent about where we are, what we've been doing over the past couple of years, and what we've done to fix it. And so when you're interviewing, I would just say, you know, ask questions like, who is the highest member of leadership that's an advocate or an ally for diversity and inclusion? Or, you know, what is your budget? What is your headcount for the DEI team? What would you consider to be successful in the first 90 days for the person in this role? Those are the things that you can ask to see if they actually know, you know, what they're really looking for, or if this is just the role that they're going to fill in now and think about the other parts later.
Let's paint a scenario now. So say you've gone into a role and you kind of promised a really diverse culture and a diverse like business, and you get there and they're not taking it seriously at all. I mean, is there anything that you can do internally to kind of try and shift things yourself?
Well, I think the biggest part of this role is building relationships, building trust.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I would do if that was the case was try to build relationships with stakeholders within the organization and try to understand what their goal is, and then bridge that gap to get them to understand like that they can achieve this goal through diversity and inclusion.
Right, cool.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion. I mean, there's so many ways to explain, like, you know, what we do, but, you know, really just bridging that gap and also kind of showing them the way, that's probably what I would do if I started an organization that promised me the world. And when I got there, it wasn't the case. Mm. What do you think that you would do in that situation?
It's a good question. I guess I'd probably go down the formal route, really, and speak to human resources, probably. I can't think of any other way I'd go about it, really. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on the organization as well. If it was a small startup, then I think you've got more of a voice to be heard when there's less hierarchy. If it was a big corporation, then I think you'd probably have to go down the more formal route. But the risk in that would be that your voice would just get lost, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a huge risk with this, right? Because there are people, when you walk into an organization, there are people that have been waiting for your role for years to come. There are people that don't see the need for your role. And there are people that are just on the fence. They don't know if it's a PR move or you're really here to make an impact. And so you just have these three groups of people that you really have to kind of bring along with you through this journey of making it a more diverse, inclusive space.
Yeah. And it's sad to me to realize that, you know, there'll be a lot of companies out there who are just doing it to tick boxes. And then it is that state of affairs where they don't really have anything serious set in place. And it is just to so they look good on the outside. And that's exactly the wrong, that's completely wrong. That's completely missing the message, and it's almost more detrimental than, you know, it should be very detrimental to the business and the people that work there.
I do want to say that it is never too late to start a D&I program. It doesn't matter if you have 20,000 employees or, you know, 300 employees. Whenever you start your journey is the right time for you. And it's never too late and you're not doing anything wrong. There may be, you know, some things that already exist when you start at like, you know, a larger level. And there may have to be some unlearned behaviors with that. But even at the startup level or the small business level, I mean, I think that's like a great sweet spot because you can, you know, be a part of the DNA of the organization.
Yeah.
And you can intertwine like, you know, that perspective as the organization grows. So I would just encourage any organization, if you don't already have a DEI program, D&I program, diversity, belonging, and inclusion program, just to start thinking about that and think about what that person may need to be successful in that role.
Perfect. That, amazing words of advice, Laquan. Honestly, it feels like we've really put the world to rights with this topic, but I mean, and also only just skimmed the surface at the same time. You know, it's a huge area. I think it's great, these conversations that are happening, and hopefully in the future we'll see this kind of starting to gain momentum in the industry, in the wider industry. So Thanks so much for taking the time to speak to me today. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me, Ben. This has been a really great conversation. I really appreciate you shedding light on the diversity, equity, and inclusion space. You know, I hope that people hear this and really start to think about like what they can do to make a change at their organization, or even start their own, you know, consulting company and make a change individually. I mean, there's no wrong way to do this job. And it's really, I think this is the right side of history that you want to be on, someone trying to make a change and trying to have an impact. And I look forward to more podcasts like this. This has been a really great experience, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for listening to Venturi's Voice. If you like the show, give us a follow on your favorite streaming platform.